You're listening to Unveiling Mormonism from PursueGod.org.
Okay, Lane, so last time we talked about how a biblical church, a Christian church, doesn't need one prophet who gets to speak for God and God speaks to him, but instead we looked at the book of Acts. The way that God moves in his church today is he gives his Holy Spirit to every single believer, not just to one prophet.
Yeah.
And he reveals truth to every single believer.
Mm-hmm.
And we have God's word for affirming that and confirming that. We have God's people who help us to stay on the right track. Mm-hmm. So today I want to kind of talk a little bit more about that on a personal level. How does the Holy Spirit work on a personal level? I think you're the best qualified person to speak to this because you understood how it was for 40 years as a Mormon.
Yeah.
And you did not experience the Holy Spirit on a personal level. Now, as a Christian for the last 10 plus years, you do understand it.
Yeah.
And so I can't wait to hear your answer to this. But let's back up for the sake of our audience. Like, what do Mormons teach about the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, thank you. That's good. How do I know I have the Holy Spirit, man? That's such a big question if you asked me that 40 years ago. And we're going to get into that. But I'm speaking to the listeners in particular today, to the ones that are on the fence. If you grew up Mormon, that's huge. You're told about the gift of the Holy Ghost and about confirmations, warm feelings, burning in the bosom. This should sound very, very familiar. You're taught it comes after baptism, after priesthood hands are put on your head, after temple ordinances. But here's the problem. So many people, including me, are left wondering if they really have the Holy Spirit, or if they've lost it, or if they're good enough. I remember that feeling so clearly. I'd pray and I would feel that excitement or warmth, and then I'd mess up, and then I'd doubt myself, and then wonder, did I really lose it? Is God gone? That's exhausting. That's spiritually, emotionally, and mentally exhausting. And that's what I want to get into today, is how the Bible shows us that God's Holy Spirit isn't earned. It's a gift, and it's something you can actually know you have. And that's what I want to talk about, is the fruit of the Spirit and how a believer can know that they actually walk with God.
So let's start with pronouns.
Yeah.
What are your pronouns? He, him.
Right.
So are mine. Yeah. Our pronouns are he, him.
Yep.
This is good because I think Mormons and Christians sometimes do this too. And we might even sometimes fall into this. Mormons, when they use a pronoun for the Holy Spirit, they usually say it.
Yeah.
Because I think Mormons view, tell me if this is true.
Mm-hmm.
Mormons view the Holy Spirit like kind of like an impersonal force.
Yeah. Yep.
Right?
Well, I mean, he's the third one in the Godhead. So if he's number three, then it's almost like a diss to the Holy Spirit. And yet and that's why I think that it's tough to trust the Holy Spirit, because as a Christian, the Holy Spirit is God. It's God direct. Like, he is speaking to me direct, but as a Mormon, he's the third member of the Godhead. So he's like a messenger. He's like being sent by the Father. And that makes me question, well, what's the Father doing if he's sending the Holy Spirit? Like, it just doesn't make sense.
So wait, I didn't think that Mormons believe that the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. Are you saying Mormons generally do believe the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead?
Part of the Godhead, but remember, they're three separate gods.
Three separate gods.
Yeah, okay. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are three persons, but they're three individual persons, making them three separate gods.
Okay, so just so everybody knows, biblical Christianity teaches the Trinity. We have a series on that at Pursue God if people want to learn more. The Trinity doctrine says there's one God in being or essence, but he exists eternally in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's why you would never talk about Jesus as an it.
Right.
We would never say, I don't even know the construction of the sentence, but you would always refer to Jesus as a he.
Right.
And that we need to acknowledge the same thing with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a he, not because he has a gender.
Right.
But because he is a person.
Person.
That he has personhood.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think in Mormonism, even though maybe there is some understanding about the Holy Spirit as a person, clearly it's the wrong understanding, but I think that they talk about the Holy Spirit, or they conceptualize the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. more as a force.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like Jehovah's Witnesses. It definitely the Holy Spirit is more of a force instead of a person.
Yeah.
I mean, it is said in the doctrine that he's a person, but it's a person. It's separate from the Father and it's another God that I'm dealing with. And so again, the Holy Spirit is so different as a Mormon versus a Christian.
Yeah. So anyway, all that aside was just to say, just to remind both of us and our listeners, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we should use the he pronoun, not the it pronoun, because he is personal.
Yeah.
He is, as we said in the last episode, he is the promise presence of God who indwells us. So God indwells us by his Holy Spirit and his Holy Spirit moves and does all this amazing stuff in our lives. So that we don't have to have a prophet telling us what to think, how to live, what's right, what's wrong. We don't need a capital P prophet.
Yeah,
we have the Holy Spirit. Every single one of us has the Holy Spirit. But in Mormonism, that's like a big question mark because you never really, you've got this incredible like Holy Spirit insecurity.
Yeah, and that's really, really good. Like as a Christian, you're sealed his. At the moment that you put your faith and trust in him, you're sealed his. But as a, you know, as a Latter-day Saint, it's a big process. It's complicated. And it's no wonder why so many Latter-day Saints are exhausted when it comes to a personal relationship with Jesus because of the order of the priesthood and how you know, a deacon that's 12 years old has to do certain things in order to start gaining more trust and more light and knowledge that God wants him to have, instead of just being like, hey, faith is what ignites that relationship. Like that's not all that it is, you know, as a Mormon. And as a Mormon, it's like, the Holy Ghost points me to the prophet instead of pointing me to Jesus. And that's a big difference. And I want, you know, those that are listening to please consider that. Is the Holy Spirit's mission to point you to a prophet or point you to Christ?
Yeah, because if that's what you think, then you have a counterfeit Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Because that's not the Holy Spirit's role.
Yeah.
That's not the Holy Spirit.
And that's how you know he's not leading you.
Yeah.
If he's pointing you to a prophet, that's one of the red flags that you look for right off the bat. And that's tough to redirect the way you've been taught to think and feel. But that's when you allow God to move in. Like Jesus says in John 14, I love it. He says, my Father and I come to make our home in you. I mean, that's just so beautiful.
So Lane, when you were LDS, active LDS, were there moments where you thought you felt the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
And how were you taught to describe that?
Well, I mean, right in the Doctrine and Covenants, they teach you that you have this burning in the bosom and that it's just, I'm looking. And it's not that the Holy Spirit isn't part of that, but there's more to it than that. And it's not just, oh, well, Brian, I feel like God's with me, right? And then maybe an hour from now, I'm going to be like, you'll call me like, hey, Lane, what's going on or whatever? And I'll be like, yeah, I feel like God's left me. Like, that is not who the Holy Spirit is. Like, you need to know when you put your faith and trust in him that you're sealed his. Well, going back in my LDS days, it was exhausting because I always wanted to have the Spirit with me. Even the sacrament prayer is that I would have the Spirit with me always. But the prophets teach me that you're not always going to have the Spirit with you. That's impossible. There's no apostle or prophet that's ever spoken that teaches you what God's truth teaches you, that you can have the Holy Spirit with you always. I mean, that's the promise at the end of Matthew, is that Jesus will always be with you, that he'll be with his believers, right? And that's powerful because that's not. I was taught to follow my feelings. And if my feelings told me that I was feeling that God was me, then he was. But a lot of times it wasn't, Brian. And I felt like I had to hide that. I felt like, oh, well, everybody else is feeling the Spirit and I'm not. And so sometimes, you know, you do the fake it till you make it. Mm-hmm. And that is like, it distances me from my Creator. It distances me from who God is, because I have to look at others and like, oh, they're experiencing but really they're not. And so we're all just kind of deceiving ourselves. When we understand the fruit of the Spirit, then we understand, we begin to understand the relationship that God wants with us.
This is confusing to me because you go to a Mormon service, mm-hmm. church service, it is not emotive mm-hmm. at all. Like what you just described yeah. to me sounded like my upbringing in a Pentecostal church mm. where Pentecost, if anyone's ever been to a Pentecostal church, it's very feelings based. It's like a concert. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Yeah. It's just, right. there's a lot of like,
right.
there's a lot of experiential Christianity versus like maybe a Reformed high church
yeah.
setting where it's all very cerebral.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about thinking.
Right.
It's more about, it's interesting because Mormonism does not strike me at all as an experienced-based church. Because growing up in a church like mine, you'd look around at youth group and you'd see these people raising their hands and they're mm-hmm. they're crying and
right.
just connecting with God in worship. Like legitimately, yeah. I'm not
sure.
I'm not throwing shade on them.
Yeah.
But if I'm not feeling that, that's what that sounds like to me. But that's not mm-hmm. what Mormon worship services are like, right? So what do you mean by,
well,
like what would it look like for a Mormon to feel the mm-hmm. Holy Spirit? Because
yeah.
it clearly can't be what it would look like for a Pentecostal person.
Well, that's interesting. So I'd go to fast and testimony meeting that we do once a month. And everybody's encouraged to go up and bear their testimony, right? So this is where you would begin to be like, the Holy Spirit is now coming in and telling me what they're saying is true, because I know that Joseph Smith was a prophet, that the Book of Mormon is the keystone, that the Book of Mormon is true, and that we're led by a prophet today, that this is why this burning in the bosom is meant to testify of a living prophet, and that he speaks and that he's the mouthpiece for God. But when it comes to the simplicity of the fruit of the Spirit, it's very different. I was taught to follow, my feelings would lead me to what my prophet has already been teaching me. And I would want validation. It would almost be as if like Martin Harris and David Whitmer, when they didn't initially see the gold plates. And then Harris goes back and says, well, let's just one more time. And then he finally says, oh, yeah, that's right. Like, it's one of those things where you want what everybody else is projecting, but what they're projecting isn't the Holy Spirit. They're projecting feelings inside that make them feel good and make them feel that what they've been doing their whole life is true. So it becomes subjective. It becomes something to where, that's why almost, you know, every time you go up and do a testimony, it's almost very vanilla. The majority of people that go up, and no diss to them, because I want to believe that every Latter-day Saint that does share their testimony has a sincere heart. And they want to believe that the Holy Ghost is leading them. But really what it is it's more their feelings are leading them, not the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so I'm going to drill down on this because I'm determined to get an answer to this, to try to understand okay. my Mormon neighbors. For a Pentecostal, you know, what I just described, my upbringing, and our church, by the way, Alpine Church is not a Pentecostal church. It's a non-denominational
yeah.
church. But we have worship that's very moving.
Yeah.
sense the presence of God. So when I think about my feelings in that kind of a setting, I would say I'm feeling connected to God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling personally connected to God. How would you describe the feelings in a Mormon, the feelings that people are going after in Mormonism?
I mean, they're looking for what Joseph Smith said in Doctrine and Covenants, the burning in the bosom, the goosebumps. But God is so much bigger than that. And that's all I would look for.
Let me throw some yeah. options out there.
Yeah.
So like feeling like you made the right choice. You see how that's different from feeling connected to God. It's what we talked about in the last
yeah.
episode, that I have a personal relationship with God. And so in my worship
yeah.
times, and you know this now as a Christian
yeah.
too, like when you talk about your feelings now mm-hmm. as a Christian, feelings
yeah.
aren't bad. It's just
no.
that they can't be primary, right?
Right.
Right. So the feelings that we have as worshipers of Jesus,
yeah,
in a worship time or reading our Bibles or whatever,
yeah,
even in our own quiet time,
yeah,
wouldn't you agree? It's like feeling connection to my Creator. It's feeling connection to, yeah, God on a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get the sense that that's what Mormons are going for. I feel like the sense is more feeling that Joseph Smith's,
yeah,
right.
Right.
Feeling that all these people around me,
mm-hmm,
can't be wrong.
That's exact. We're taught how to think and how to feel.
Mm.
Like from the time we're kids, you know, from singing the songs, we're taught how to think and how to feel. And so in Fast and Testimony meeting, the whole thing is based on feelings. And like you said, it's not that feelings are bad,
mm-hmm,
but let's be honest, feelings often deceive us,
mm-hmm,
right? The Bible never tells us to follow our feelings. In fact, the Bible tells us to lead our heart, not follow it. Hollywood tells you to follow your feelings. Jesus never says to follow your feelings, right? But I feel like it works for them, because when everybody's getting up and sharing and testifying of the same thing, it becomes very feeling orientated. And so then I'm going to attribute that now to the Holy Spirit or to the Holy Ghost. Like, I'm going to bring what I'm feeling and be like, yeah, this is great. I'm going to go up. I went up and bore my testimony hundreds of times. Mm. And I was told if I bore my testimony, my sins would be forgiven. And there were prophets that spoke on that as well. Like, so I would go up and just do that. But there would be those times I'd be like, I want to share a powerful testimony of the prophet, of the church itself and how it was born and all that, instead of going up and testifying that the Holy Spirit brought me into a personal relationship with Jesus.
Because it wasn't about a personal relationship with Jesus.
No.
How did you feel after you bore your testimony? Did you feel like proud?
I felt proud, and I felt that what I was taught and how to think and how to feel, the burning in the bosom.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, so this is the Spirit.
Got it. So you felt affirmed.
So I felt affirmed.
You felt that's affirmed.
Right. That's right.
I wonder if that's maybe the feeling,
yeah,
that you were, when you were looking around and seeing, I'm not feeling it, but they are.
Yeah.
I wonder if you were like, they are feeling affirmed.
Yep.
And I'm not, because I've got questions,
because mm-hmm,
I've got doubts, because it's not about feeling connection to God. It's about feeling affirmation, confirmation from a prophet and a bishop,
yeah,
and your family,
yeah,
and your friends.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, because I mean, that's the Spirit's work, is long-term transformation. Again, it's not that feelings aren't used, because they are, but at the end of the day, I look back at how I was taught who the Spirit was and how the Spirit's going to invade my life. And it really was the burning. And so I feel like you can get those feelings by talking about anything. Like if, you know, it's not just, but I was using and wanting the affirmation to be like, oh, I got the burning. It's here, but it's not necessarily here. It's just here.
Mm.
And that's why it's dangerous. But that's where the prophet comes in, because it's like, oh yeah, well, you know, I'm getting the same feeling and the same response and same results as they are. And we can't all be deceived, can we?
Mm.
Right? So
it's kind of like a feeling of groupthink.
Yeah.
It's a feeling of community because of groupthink.
Yeah. I remember times when I thought I had the Spirit because I felt the burning. But then later when things got tough, I messed up. The feeling vanished. What does that mean? Does that mean that God's not? Yeah, that's what I was taught, Brian, is this God, this Holy Ghost is going to come in when I'm worthy. But that's the challenge, is a lot of times I didn't feel worthy. And so it's almost like self-defeating, because I'm like, well, I should have gone to the temple 4 more times this month. Or, you know, I didn't feel worthy, so I didn't take the sacrament. And that made me feel bad because I missed the blessings of taking the sacrament. Or I didn't go home teaching when I was supposed to. I could have gone. I felt sick, but I probably could have gone, but I played the sick card. Like, there's so many things that I would just self-defeat because I was already told, well, the Spirit can't always be with you.
Hmm.
And so that made me want the Spirit even more, but that made me want to earn the Spirit. It made me want to, you know, get God to look at me so I would try even more and put more effort into something that was a gift. It was never meant to be earned.
And that's the feeling, really, maybe, is the feeling that you've earned the Spirit.
Yes.
By bearing your testimony, there by you going go. To the temple go. And doing baptisms, yep. by you know, not clicking on that link on yep. your phone as a right. young man. Like every time you made the right choice, it was yeah. like, okay, yeah, I've earned it. It was a feeling of yep. pride, really.
Yeah.
Accomplishment, yep. right?
Yeah, and that's, you know, it brings you back to when the priesthood hands get placed on your head and you strive to have the Holy Spirit. You strive to have the Holy Ghost with you, but you already accepting that he can't be a constant companion to you. And that's what why the prophet is so important, because even though he messes up, because we always say, well, the prophet isn't perfect, and you know, how to, you know, like, yeah, he's going to make mistakes too, but we're still taught we can trust him. But what about me? I'm a fallible man. I make mistakes, but I can't trust God could direct me and lead me personally. No. So when my gaps fall in or fall apart, then I'm looking to my prophet. I'm like, well, I can still trust that man.
Do Mormons believe that the prophet always has the Holy Spirit, or does the Holy Spirit even come and go for the prophet?
I mean, that I've actually thought about that. I've never heard any counsel that the prophet doesn't. I just hear members of the church constantly saying, well, he's a man, he can make mistakes, but God won't let him lead us astray. So the most important doctrines of the church, he's going to always have the Spirit with him, no matter what. But little things during the day where he's not at the pulpit or whatever, he's going to make mistakes. But I'm not going to necessarily know about those. I'm just going to have to trust that he really is being led by the Spirit.
So, okay, let's bring the Bible to bear on some of this. Okay. First of all, we said this in the last episode, but it bears repeating. The Bible makes it clear that the Holy Spirit is given to us when we believe.
Right.
The moment you believe in
which
Jesus.
Which is so, man, it's so powerful.
So he's not something you earn.
Yeah.
He doesn't come and go.
Yep.
You know, we said in the last episode that David in Psalm 51 prayed, Father, you know, don't take your Holy Spirit from me.
You're right.
And that this was this insecure,
yep.
because in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit wasn't a permanent gift of believers yet. So the Holy Spirit came and went, you know, on Samson, on David, on Samuel, in special moments. But that's not how the Holy Spirit works anymore. Right. This is the new covenant now, and that He's given us His Holy Spirit, a permanent possession. That once we believe in Jesus Christ, it's not someone's laying on of hands. Yeah. It's not what it is.
Yep.
It's not a gift for man to give.
Right.
It's a gift for God to give.
And we're reminded of that. You know, John 16 was a very powerful chapter to me. In particular, John 16, 13 and 14, and it reads, and he, the Holy Spirit of truth, comes. He will guide you into all truth. Again, what does that mean? It means he will glorify me, that is Christ, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So think about that for a minute. The Holy Spirit's main job is to what? To glorify Jesus. Yeah, you're going to have good feelings. He's going to point that. But that's not what the Holy Ghost was meant to do. But growing up as a Latter-day Saint, that's what I really believe the mission of the Holy Spirit was. It wasn't to glorify Christ. It wasn't to validate his mission. It wasn't to do what Jesus did in Acts 2. When I left Mormonism, that was obviously something huge. But I realized that all those confirmations I chased, the burning, the feelings, the signs, they all pointed to me. They all pointed to me. They didn't point to Christ. And again, if it's all based on me, it's all based on the flesh. It's based on a system rather than Jesus. But at the moment I started focusing on Jesus, as he is in the Bible, the Holy Spirit became real in a new way. And that's what I want the LDS listeners to please think about right now. The Spirit doesn't just make your life easier. He makes Christ clearer to you. That's what it is. It's like, if you want to know God, then you got to know Christ. If you want to get to know the only true God, you've got to get to know who Christ is. You got to get to know his nature, his character, his attributes. And that's the kind of presence that changes your life from inside out.
So let me say something to our LDS listeners, Well, to everybody. I think this is good for everybody to hear, but it might sound offensive. And maybe, Lane, you can help me help soften it a little bit. But I just want to be really truthful to our listeners. Because even as they're listening to what you're saying and how you've come to these revelations about who the Holy Spirit really is and how you misunderstood the Holy Spirit in the Mormon church, I think it's just really important to acknowledge this. The Mormon church does not have the Holy Spirit.
No.
The Mormon church does not have Jesus. The Mormon spirit does not have God the Father.
Right.
The Mormon church does not have the gospel. All these things that we talk about in this podcast.
They have a counterfeit. Everything's counterfeit.
Everything's counterfeit.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important for us just to pause right here, just so we're really clear with all of our listeners.
Yeah.
What we're doing today and for the rest of this episode is not to tell you how to fake it better. Lane, I want you to talk a little bit about how you know, how you know that you're being led by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But that's as a Christian, that's a different question than how do I know if I have the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, that's a good point.
The way that you know you have the Holy Spirit is so simple.
Yeah.
It's so simple.
Yep.
It has nothing to do with laying on of hands. It has nothing to do with the church, the leadership in your church, anything like that.
Yeah.
The way you know you have the Holy Spirit, I'm just going to read a couple of verses here from the Bible.
Okay.
The way that you know you have the Holy Spirit is by placing your faith in Jesus Christ. When you place your faith in Jesus Christ and become a true believer, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is like huge.
Yep.
This is a huge focus of the New Testament. This is a big deal. Jesus himself, let me just read three scriptures, John 7:38-39. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. Mm. And then in parentheses, John writes this, when he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So anyone who believes in me will have the Holy Spirit. Jesus said it first. Then we go to Galatians 3:2. We read this in the last episode. Let me ask you this one question, Paul asks the Galatians. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. Mm-hmm. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. Okay. Yeah. One more, Ephesians 1:13. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago.
There you go.
So
there
those three verses, I'll give the references again. John 7:38, Galatians 3:2, and Ephesians 1:13. Those three verses make it so clear that you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe in Jesus Christ, the real Jesus, when you receive the real gospel. In other words, when you acknowledge that you're broken, you can't save yourself.
Yep.
You trust the Jesus of the Bible, that he died and rose from the dead. The Bible says, not the Jesus of Mormonism, the Jesus of the Bible, not some brother of Satan, not some lower being.
And this is important because when I think back at really how many Jesuses there are in the Mormon church, there's more than one, there's more than two, there's more than three. Because if, you know, for the Latter-day Saints that are listening, they're probably going to be saying, well, yeah, I believe in the Jesus of the Bible. But when you compare the Jesus of the Bible and you understand this Jesus that you're talking about to the Jesus in the Doctrine and Covenants or the Jesus in Pearl of Great Price or the Jesus in the Book of Mormon, there's so many Jesuses because all these Jesuses that you're talking about change. And I said it on another podcast, if the God that you believe in changes, he cannot be trusted because what is truth? If the truth can continue to change, which is what's happened, and this is again why I brought up that when you put your trust in one man, it becomes dangerous because just like in the Mormon side of things, Brigham Young taught the Adam God doctrine. Brigham Young taught blood atonement. Brigham and Joseph Smith had polygamy. They taught you could become a god. Like that's why following a prophet, you're never going to see that with the Jesus or the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Mm-hmm. You're going to see a direct personal relationship, but that's why you can't really read your Bible fully as a Latter-day Saint. Mm-hmm. Because if you do, then a lot of those will follow the same journey that I did. And that is they begin to have eyes to see and ears to hear that this Jesus, this biblical Christ, is God himself. That's not who Jesus is as a Latter-day Saint. He's not God. He is a God, and he earned his position, just like the Holy Spirit is earning his position to be a savior one day. Everything is based upon earning. It is, I mean, it's like multi-level marketing in a sense. It's like they're all working for the Elohim, this Elohim, they're all working and they're using each other as stepping stones to become this almighty God one day. And again, and you see that same footprint, you know, when you become good enough and you're a polygamist and then you can be in the celestial kingdom and become a God yourself, right? Ultimately, so different. So everything is earned. It's not just freely given. It's got to be earned.
Yeah, and that's why once you really come to the Jesus of the Bible, who is the creator of the universe, he always existed. He's not your older brother. He's not the same species as us.
Yeah.
He's God. He's totally other than us. We will never be God.
Yeah, his nature is so different.
Yes.
I didn't realize that because, again, I equated God to like me. He was once like me, right? Like he sinned and, I'm going to be like him one day.
Right.
Like ultimately, this God, uncreated, you know, look as far as in the past as you want, he existed. Like that's not Elohim. That's not the Elohim and Jehovah that's taught in the temple ceremony.
So if you reject the unbiblical picture of Jesus and come to the Jesus of the Bible, these verses I just shared with our listeners show us that you receive the Holy Spirit because you believed in Jesus. Look at how simple that is,
Lane. So simple.
And it's so Jesus-centered.
Yeah.
And it's so reassuring then to know, Lane, that now that you've come to that Jesus, now that you have the Holy Spirit residing in you, he doesn't come and go. The Holy Spirit doesn't come and go. You haven't lived a perfect life since you became a Christian.
Not at all.
Not one moment did you lose the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Isn't that comforting
to know? It's so comforting to realize that even when I'm lost, that God is still with me and he's the one that gets me back on track. Like, how are you going to get back on track if the Holy Spirit is gone because you lost the Spirit? Who's going to get you back on track? Oh, you got to get yourself back on track and then God comes in. Like, it's backwards. It's everything's looking backwards. What I did is, you know, in my journey out, I wanted to look for how I really knew that God was leading me. So I looked for evidences in my life. I think that's fair. Like, I think it's fair for me to look to say, what is naturally going to flow if a tree is planted by living water and it's planted in a fertile soil? What's automatically going to come from that tree? Good fruit. You can't have bad fruit from a good tree. Like, it's not possible. And I think Jesus uses a parable about that. But I wanted to look for some evidence. So here's five things that I look for when I left.
Yeah, let me make this something clear about this though, Lane, just so our listeners don't get lost on this. What you're talking about now in this list you're going to give us, and it's a really helpful list. I love it.
Yeah.
It's great. But what you're talking about isn't, you're not talking about evidence to whether you know you have the Holy Spirit.
No.
Because you know you have the Holy Spirit once you believed.
Right.
We don't have to question that. When we've genuinely put our faith in Jesus Christ, we can take it to the bank what God's word says, that we have the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That's so helpful for us to know. Because otherwise you can, even as a Christian, you can fool yourself into thinking,
and that's a good
point. I still have to earn this. I still have to earn this.
Yeah.
So this list that you're going to share with our listeners is really more for you, like you've recognized that having the Holy Spirit in my life should produce this stuff in my life.
It will automatic. It's almost similar to, it's like 90% of all the roads, the names of the roads and the cities and stuff, you can go back to Jerusalem. The evidence that Jesus existed is overwhelming. I'm not placing my faith and trust in the evidence that I see that you can go back and experience, but it's there, that God left it there for a reason. Like it could be like all burnt down or whatever, but God left it there. So these are ways that God teaches us. And so for me, it's fun to look at like a deeper point of maybe what Paul's saying in Galatians 5 about the fruit.
Yeah.
And this fruit is a direct result of me obtaining God's Spirit. So I look for that and it's awesome. It's reassuring because we're all going to have times that we doubt. And how do we get away from that doubt? Well, God says, look at the fruit. Are you chasing your feelings? Or are you chasing the fruit? I'm chasing fruit every day and it's fun to do that. So here's just five quick things. So what I found, the real evidence isn't feelings, it's transformation. It takes time. The first one is love for God's word and truth. What happens is you start craving scripture. You want to read it and understand it and apply it. There isn't a day that I don't want to open up the word. I mean, almost 7 days a week, literally. Like, I feel like I'm a kid at a candy store. I love that I'm still being taught. And somebody asked me, well, you sure seem to know a lot. And I'm like, yeah, if I could categorize my knowledge from A to Z, I'm still on A, but I'm really deep into it. And that's because it is that transformation that God has. Number two is conviction.
Wait, hold on a sec. Let's go back to number one. So okay. You said love for
God's word and his truth.
And his truth.
Yeah.
As a Mormon, what were you more focused on?
The prophet's truth and the prophet's voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, that's because I would attribute that to God. It was just like, oh, I can't just take God's truth. It's got to be filtered through a man. It's got it. The veil that was torn from top to bottom has now got to be put back up. And now I've got to go back through this mediator. I mean, that's kind of what the prophet is. It's like a makeshift mediator that the church wants me to believe that I have to go through. Mm-hmm. Because if I don't believe in a living prophet, I'm not going to the celestial kingdom. Mm. I probably find myself in the telestial kingdom. If I'm like, I like the culture, I like the family, I like how family is important, I like the principles, I like the moral character that the Mormon church has, but I can't believe in a living prophet. One, I'm not going to get a temple recommend, and I'm going to maybe hope to go to the telestial kingdom. So that's why it's set up the way that it is because you have to let them think for you. God can't teach you directly. He has to be filtered through a prophet. Mm.
But now that you have the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. now
yeah.
you just have just a genuine direct love for yeah. God and his truth because you don't need it yeah. to be mediated.
Right.
Through a prophet.
And it's good because it's kind of like a barometer in life. You get hot and cold, right? And I look at it like the fruit. It's like we can all get distracted. And I get distracted just like the next guy. But I realize when I'm not chasing fruit that I want God's presence and I know he's there. But I want to actually see that. And it's fun to look at the fruit and look back at what he's doing, not what I'm doing. And sometimes in my life, I mean, like, hey, how are you? And I'm like, a lot of times I answer, I'm better than I deserve because it's not about me. It's about what God's doing. And sometimes I don't feel that what I've been given in my life is deserved, but I have to remember it's not because of me. And that always brings me back. Number two was conviction of sin and repentance. So the Spirit points out where we miss the mark and it's not the shame, but it's to guide us back to Christ. I mean, again, that mission of the Holy Spirit, if it's pointing me back to Christ, it's pointing me back to the solution. As a Mormon, I was focused on the problem all the time. But as a Christian, my focus is the solution, and that's Christ. Number three is joy and peace that isn't dependent on circumstances. That's deep confidence in God's work in your life. So this is where the Holy Spirit transforms you, right? Like being born again is your old life is die. You're freely letting your old life, your flesh, those fleshly desires die, and a new life is beginning. That's where the Holy Spirit is able to seal you here, his. Even though, yeah, I'm going to make mistakes, I'm going to sin. And when I do that, the Holy Spirit is quick to remind me I need a Savior. And so that's all part of that transformation. Four is fruit in character. And sometimes, you know, you want to look to say, am I going to be that light that I'm called to be? And if so, how is somebody going to know I'm a believer? How is somebody going to know that I'm an active believer in the biblical Christ? Well, that's the fruit. And so the people that are close to us in your life, they're going to see good fruit. And the fruit that Paul talks about, again, just some of them, is love. This isn't love that the world produces. This is the love that is in 1 Corinthians 13. Which has no list of wrongs, is unconditional. This is the love that God wants, that God gives us. And then what is he says? Love people the way that I love you, right? So love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, and self-control, right? These are all evidences in my life that I find. And I'm like, the arguments that I used to have, I don't find myself getting in arguments as much anymore. Why? Because I find that the Spirit is the one that's leading me out of confrontation and keeping me in that peaceful relationship that he wants, and not, do you want to be right? Or do you want to do what's right? I want the Spirit, and the Spirit is leading me to that.
You know, your family, I wonder if your family would recognize this, because you came, came out of Mormonism.
Yeah. One of seven. And it still blows me away.
And today. So when you go to, for the last 10 plus years, when you go to family functions.
Yeah. Every Sunday, I mean, I go to my mom and dad's, and almost there's not a Sunday that it doesn't come up that we want him to come back. And that's the thing that's so sad. It's like when Jesus seals you his, you are his. You are his son or daughter forever. Like there is no going back. Like he sealed you his, but as a Latter-day Saint, it wasn't always that way, because we might end up in different kingdoms. That was disappointing too. Well, how do I know? Like my mom and dad, like you would always put somebody, like mom and dad or grandma and grandpa's like, oh, you're going to the celestial kingdom. I might be lucky to go to the telestial or terrestrial kingdom. And I still might not be with them, but it's totally different, obviously, as a biblical Christian.
So yeah, now as a Christian, you're there. Mm-hmm. And I would guess that you have to bite your tongue an awful lot.
Yeah.
That, and you have to really model love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, more gentleness, than, self-control.
Yeah, it's all of it. And that's, again, it makes me, you know, not proud, but it makes me pleased and happy, because I didn't have that in the past. And I have that now, because I do choose the solution and I don't focus on the problem. And when given opportunity to share, we talk. But, you know, It is tough. I'm not popular. I'm popular, but I'm not popular with the faith that I have when I'm there. And that's okay, because the Holy Spirit is going to get under people. Like if you don't feel pricked in your heart and you don't feel something change or challenged, Holy Spirit probably isn't working in your life. And so that's another one of the fruits that I look for. And the last one, five, is dependence fully on Christ. You realize life without earning God's favor, it's about trusting him. Even when you don't feel him, the Holy Spirit is there. The faith, that's faith, trusting God based on his promises, not on my emotions. And that's huge. That's so different. Again, I remember when I first realized this, I had prayed for so long during that 4 to 5 year period of my exit out of Mormonism, feelings of being unsure, feelings if the Holy Spirit is really guiding me. But again, I started noticing fruit. And I believe that that was how God got my attention, how he showed me that he is leading me. Now I know, but I didn't see that at the time. That was the moment. It was more than a moment. It was a process. It was a refinement. It was also proof to me that God is leading me. And so those are just some things that I would, you know, encourage you to look for as well. Again, not earned, but you definitely will see. It's just going to flow like living water does. Like these fruits, this fruit is going to flow like living water does.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.